listening to the CCA Podcast.
Week number four of Jesus Loves Seattle sermon series. You came on a great Sunday. We're so glad you're here. Welcome to the family of God. This is a great community here this morning, and I can already sense the Lord working in our hearts and in our minds as we contemplatively pray this morning back to Him. Today's message, does prayer really work? We've been going through each of these weeks talking through different questions that many of us have in our Christian formation. This morning in our Jesus Loves Seattle, week number four, does prayer really work? If you have your Bibles, we're going to be looking at the 26th chapter of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, the 26th chapter. We're going to be starting in verse 36 and making our way through verse 46. This is Jesus' garden prayer. This is the prayer that Jesus prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, which Lena and I had the benefit of actually standing in not too long ago and reading this exact text. This morning, I would submit that prayer is all about talking with Jesus and developing a trusting relationship with God. What is prayer? Prayer is all about talking with Jesus and developing a trusting relationship with God. I heard this story about a family that had come to Seattle, not too far from here, actually, and they were vacationing at a lake house, beautiful lake house. Had a boat, a dock, I mean, the whole thing. It was just this really, really cool place. And as the father was piddling around, putting around in the boathouse, he had asked his two older children to pay special attention to his three-year-old son. And so dad's piddling around in the boathouse, and the two older siblings are watching the three-year-old, and you know how it happens. The two older kids got busy and got distracted with their own things, and so little Billy began to kind of walk his way around and distractedly kind of go here chasing butterflies and this and that, and actually makes his way down to the dock because of the shiny boat that's just bobbing dockside. And he's so, little Billy is mesmerized with this boat, and I wonder what's in that boat. And so he goes to step on and loses his footing and splash in the water. Well, that splash got the attention of the two older siblings, who then screamed at the top of their lungs, and instinctively dad knew what happened. He just knew, and he runs out of the boathouse, and he runs and he sees the water moving, and he dives into the water and he's looking for little Billy. The water is so murky, he can't see anything, and he comes to the surface out of oxygen, and he takes another breath, and he dives down again, and he's looking everywhere, and he's beginning to panic, and as he's panicking, he's what do I do? And his hands, he's doing his hands and his feet like this, because he's thinking, maybe I'll find him this way. And he goes, and he's just thinking to himself, Billy, where are you? Billy, where are you? And as he's out of breath, completely out of oxygen, he begins to make his way back up for another breath of fresh air, and just then, the tips of his fingers feel little Billy. And he swims over and he's trying to pry Billy's hands off of the pier post. Billy is just holding onto this pier post with everything he's got, clenching it as tight as he possibly can. So when dad finally peels his fingers off, they both shoot up and they explode through the surface, gasping air, the life, the breath. The adrenaline's going, and he's just holding Billy, and they get out of the water, and finally when their heartbeat comes down back to normal, dad asks Billy, he says, Billy, what in the world were you doing 4 feet underwater holding on that tight? What were you doing? And little Billy just says, well, Dad, I was just trusting you'd come. I was just trusting you'd come. prayer this morning, I would suggest, is all about talking with Jesus and developing a trusting relationship with God. We look in Matthew 26. I want to look at three observations of Jesus' prayer life. You have a fill-in this morning, and I would encourage everybody, take notes. It's a great way to contemplatively look back on what we talked about this morning and pray it back to the Lord through the week. Three observations of Jesus' prayer life. Number one, fill-in. Prayer aligns our ways with God's ways. Prayer aligns our ways with God's ways. It's interesting to me, don't you think? Isn't it interesting how Jesus' prayer was in the Garden of Gethsemane? Do you know what Gethsemane means? Gethsemane means olive press, oil press. Interesting to me how he prays. And as we extrapolate this text, you'll see why. We're going to revisit this thought. But remember, Gethsemane means oil press. Jesus' olive oil garden prayer was a perfect picture of pressure. Where do you feel pressured this morning? Let's just push the pause button real quick. Where are you feeling pressured in life? Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's that you don't have a job, and it might be in your finances that you're feeling pressured, or maybe in relationships, or maybe your health. You've got some serious pressures health-wise. Well, I want to encourage you this morning, whatever your pressure might be, Jesus can relate. Look what Scripture says. It's going to be up on the screen. He, speaking of Jesus, began to be sorrowful and, say it with me, troubled. Here's what Jesus said. He said, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." The pressing, the pressure, the sorrow that Jesus felt in his prayer. Perhaps like you this morning, Jesus felt distressed. He was dealing with overwhelming anguish, agonizing difficulty is what Scripture says, pained with the unbearable pressure. Perhaps Jesus is teaching us in this text that pain is part of life's process. Perhaps he's teaching us here that it's in the crushing, in the pressing, in the distress that we pray. Well, we know that there's pain in birth, don't we? All the women who've had a baby would say, "Amen." Be quiet because you have no idea what you're talking about, Pastor Ryan. Move to the next point. Pain and growth. Many of us have had growth pains growing, right? Some of us still deal with that. Pain in life. Pain and death. Pain and death. If we had more time this morning, I'd make a chart and show you how the Lord has been speaking to me through different deaths. And I'm just now realizing years ago what he was trying to tell me through that. Pain, pain, pain. Don't you deal with pain? Where do you deal with pain? Crushed with grief, heartache, and pain. Jesus showed prayer. Watch this into text. He shows Jesus Christ, our Savior, whom we have found and we follow, shows that prayer is his personal life skill for coping and self-care. He shows it to us right here. Listen to this. It's going to be up on the screen. He fell on his face. Read it with me. Praying. He fell on his face. "Oh God, my Father, if there is any way, if there is any way, get me out of this. But please, please, I want nothing more than to want what you want me to want. Not what I want you. What do you want?" Read that with me. "What do you want?" Is it a coincidence that he prays this three times in the garden. If there's any way, get me out of this crushing, this pressing. If there's any way, if there's any way, but Lord, not what I want, what you, three times. Is there coincidence that he does this three times? So this olive oil right here is from our Holy Land trip. Really cool, right? And then we have an olive. In order to get what's in this, in here, there's got to be some crushing. There's got to be some pressing. I guess I could put this in there like that, right? A little olive right in the, just fill it with olives. But it's not extra virgin olive oil, is it? Three times Jesus prays this prayer. But while we were in the Holy Land, our amazing tour guide walked us through the process of the olives crushing and the pressing. Did you know that the olive in the time of Jesus, three times it was crushed? The first time an olive is crushed, it's the first oil fruits used for temple offerings. That's where we get the extra virgin olive oil in the first crushing. The second time an olive goes through the crushing is for cooking and for serving food. The third time was for lamp oil and for soap. The crushing, the pressing, three times Jesus prayed. I would suggest that each prayer prayed by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was an offering, an anointed offering of first fruits unto God. It was food for the soul. I like to say soul food. His prayers were soul food like none other, the pressing. And I would like to suggest that this morning, your prayers, as they're offered, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10s. But the pressing, the crushing, the process of it all is purposeful. Maybe perhaps the first time for an offering. Maybe perhaps the second time you come to your face before the Master. It's soul food. It's feeding the deepest recessed places of your heart. Maybe that third time, like oil for a lamp, is going to give you the sustenance to move forward and to be the light that you can in this world, in this great city of Seattle. Oil for the lamp or for the soap to be that cleansing element that our society so needs. Three times, is it coincidence? He gives us this example three times. Pressed and alone. Have you ever felt alone when you're pressed, when you're crushed, when you're in it? Pressed and alone, he needed friends. Our Savior, Jesus, what does he say? It's on the screen. It says, stay here and what? Read it with me. Keep watch with me, Jesus says. Interesting how in our crushing and in our pressing, sometimes we find ourselves alone, isolated by ourselves. Did you know you were never created to do life alone? Our Savior shows us here in this text, if Jesus needed community, you better believe I need community. If Jesus wanted people, stay with me, watch with me, pray with me, you better believe I'm calling on all of you to meet me Wednesday night at 6 a.m. right in the chapel. 6 p.m. What did I say? A.M.? That's because I'm an early riser. You can meet me at 5. I'm up at 5 every day too, but I think you probably come at 6 p.m. That's probably better. Thank you, baby. Community. Is a community of prayer your number one priority this morning? What is your number one priority? Maybe that's a better question to ask. What is your number one priority in life? And then let me ask, do you pray? do you pray? When do you pray? What do you pray for? How do you pray? I want to encourage you. Look, write this down for later. Pray like Jesus prayed and revisit the sixth chapter of Matthew where the disciples said, how should we pray? And he gives them a model to pray. Very succinctly, I just want to give this to you. Pray like Jesus prayed. Number one, thanks. Number two, sorry. And number three, please. Thanks, sorry, and please. It's just a great way to model how to pray. And these can be simple 30, 40, 60-second prayers. Thanks, sorry, and please. Give thanks to God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your... What are we doing? We're thanking the Lord. Thank you, God, for another day. Daniel, we read in Daniel 6:10, he says he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed what? Giving thanks to God. Prayer and thanksgiving go hand in hand. Don't be anxious for anything, Paul says, but in everything with prayer and thanksgiving. You see the pattern here? Jesus gives. If you want to pray like Jesus prayed, start with thanksgiving. Thanks. Thanks, Lord. Thank you. I'm grateful. It's a great place to start. Then sorry. Forgive us our debts, Jesus modeled. Forgive us. He's telling us to say sorry. Sorry to God and sorry to those we've messed up with. And then he says, please, what are you asking for? Please, give us today our daily bread. What are your needs? What are the things that you're asking God, interceding for? Thanks, sorry, and please. Pray like Jesus prayed. You see, because when prayer is our number one priority, we're promised hope. Everybody just say hope. Isn't that a beautiful word? I just love that word. That's what we get when we pray. Look what Scripture says. It's up on the screen. Jesus returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. This is good. Listen. Watch and pray. Everybody say pray. Why? So that you will not fall into temptation. What does that even mean? Pray. Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. Well, I would suggest this morning that there is a constant tension inside of us all. Let me give an example. Ding, alarm goes off. That means it's time to go to the gym. Oh, man, but this bed feels real good. Tension. That's tension, right? Like, I know what I should do, but I feel this. Jesus is saying here, watch and pray so that you will not. Did you know prayer guarantees hope? Not to do what you shouldn't do and to do what you should do. Why do you think Paul says, I do what I don't do and I don't do what I know I should do, and then he goes into that whole thing about prayer? He's talking about anxiousness and worry and all these things, and we'll get to that scripture in a minute, but what is he after? He's after connecting with God. He says, prayer is our hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, how do we find that power? We find that power in prayer. Watch and pray, Jesus says. It's interesting to me, so much tension going on in that moment. Just picture with me, so much tension going on. So much pain Jesus is feeling, and yet Jesus was surrounded, kind of like we are, in this amazing city of Seattle, surrounded by others so focused only on their own struggle that they never even notice his. Doesn't that sound like our city? Doesn't that sound like our families? Doesn't that sound like our culture sometimes? It's the tension of, man, I know I should, but, and Jesus says, you know, here's the ticket there. Don't miss this. Watch, be alert, and pray. The writer of Hebrews says it this way, and this is what I want to get at this morning. We got to keep moving here. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Study how he did it. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Study how he did it. He could put up with anything along the way. I don't know what you're going through this morning, but Jesus says he could put up anything. He could put up with anything along the way. Cross, shame, whatever. How? The writer says, keep your eyes on Jesus, study how he did it. How did he do it? He prayed. How in the world could you endure a cross? This is what he's praying for. How in the world do you deal with shame when somebody literally takes like a baseball bat and whacks you upside the head to my Savior, Jesus? How do you deal with the shame? How do you deal with the hanging on a cross? Being naked before people, no clothes, totally exposed, whatever. He just says, cross, shame, whatever, whatever. I mean, the list goes on. How? By reading a really good book that has a great thesis. No, that's not how we deal with life. By getting a lot of degrees. Yeah, it's all good. Those things are all wonderful. But how do I deal with finding who I am and moving forward in Christ? We do it by prayer. We do it by prayer. Three observations of Jesus' prayer life. Jesus says, my house is a house of prayer. Jesus prayed, so we pray. I'm going to invite you again, 6 p.m. on Wednesday nights. It's our most important meeting of the week. Jesus prayed, so we pray. You've also got, I just want to do a little insert here because you have a couple of these in your bulletin. Use these as great invitational pieces to invite people. I've found one of the great first steps in is prayer meeting for people. Hey, is there anything I could pray with you about? I ask people that all the time. You think I pray? We pray on Wednesdays at 6. You don't have to worry about dinner because we have dinner here at 7 that falls. Invite people to prayer with you. This is a great invitation piece. Use this also to invite people in this Jesus Loves Seattle sermon series and pray over it. I'm bringing this up because I want to say a quick little prayer. Lord, whoever I give this to this week, God, I pray you would open doors of opportunity for me to connect with people so I can invite them into your presence. Pray over it. Believe what you pray for, and then go make it happen. Three observations of Jesus' prayer life. Prayer aligns our ways with God's ways. Prayer connects us with God. Look at this picture. I've come to realize that I think prayer is kind of like a stoplight. Sometimes it's a green. Sometimes we get a yes. Right when we want it. Kind of like when I was praying, Lord, I want to help me find groups in this area. You know, because we're new at this church, 7 weeks. Lord, help me find groups to connect with, like outside of the four walls to try to invite them in. Lord, help me to find. And then like within a week, I happened to run across a running group that meets down at 5:30 a.m. on Wednesdays down at the Starbucks at Green Lake. And I just happened by coincidence to meet some people like that. Green light, go. Yay. Or the other day I was praying about, there's so many people in this area all around us who have dogs. Any dog people in here this morning? Yeah, see what I'm saying? This is amazing. I love it. And there's tons of dog and cat people and whatnot. And I'm going, man, there's got to be a way we can reach people. It used to be reach the kids and you reach the adults. Now it's reach the dogs and you reach the people. Whole people in Seattle because there are more dogs and kids in this great city that we call home. And so it's like, I'm praying, Lord, what's, give me something, give me an idea, give me. And then literally, green light, go, right? Linnea and I are driving up yesterday, and there's a shelter, what do they call it? Seattle Humane is there, and so I meet Jeff in there in the truck, and they have little kitties that they're bringing, and people are swarming and coming out, and it was an answer to prayer. I made a contact, I made a friend, and now we're talking about how we can do an outreach. What? Green light, go, right? So sometimes our prayers are just boom, boom, they get answered. They're quick. They happen fast. Sometimes they're red. Sometimes it's a no when you really wanted yes, right? Anybody ever been there? We pray about it, and we get a no. I want to encourage you, sometimes no could be no for now, but not forever. So just let that minister to you wherever you're at right now. It could be no for now, but not forever. And then sometimes it's a yellow, and that yellow is to patiently wait and what? Keep on praying. How many have a yellow light right now? Wait, patiently wait, keep on praying. How many have experienced a green this week? Somebody just came up to me right before service start and just told me a green testimony. Hey, man, we've been praying and this happened. It was so cool, right? Anybody have a green? Right? Anybody have, how about a red? Anybody just a hard no and you wanted yes? Right? Right? Prayer's kind of like a stoplight. Interesting how that works. You know, my dad, I've mentioned my dad and his bout with cancer, you know, three times here too. You know, first time was colon cancer. No fun. In remission. Second time, not too long ago in July, he had brain surgery for a brain tumor. Not fun. And then not even 6-7 weeks healing through that, they found something, and they discovered that he has prostate cancer. So now we're dealing with that. We're praying with that. What do you do with stuff like that? I know there are many stories in here, if we had time, kind of like that, right? Where you pray and you experience victory, then you pray and it's the same thing, then you pray and it's the and you're praying, and then maybe it's a yellow light, maybe it's a patiently wait and keep on praying. As I read scripture, just like Jesus prayed three times over in his darkest hour, and like my family now is praying a third time for dad. Would you agree with me, by the way, on behalf of Robert Bunbury, my dad, that God would heal him of prostate cancer? He's planning on surgery where he says, we're going to get it out. And here's my dad. You'd love this for all those who are financially savvy. He goes, hey, you know what? Bring it on. Bring on all the cancer you can give me this year. He goes, you know why? Because I don't want to have to pay the deductible again. He goes, bring it on. We're gonna do surgery. We're moving ahead. What do? You patiently wait and you keep on praying. Paul articulates it this way. Three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. I've learned that weakness is a great opportunity to find strength. I've also known that all strength is found in God. Therefore, weakness is an opportunity. See it this way with me this morning. Weakness is an opportunity to find God. Do you know that you are literally connected to God's power in prayer? When I read this text from Paul, and Jesus responds to him, my grace is all you need, my power works best in weakness. Don't you think Jesus is speaking from experience? You see, in the timeline of Scripture, this happens in Paul. Jesus speaks this to Paul after Jesus prayed in the garden, obviously. And he says, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. You're literally connected to Jesus' resurrecting power when you pray. Just think of that with me. It's kind of like all of us. Do you have a cell phone, by the way? We all have, right? I mean, it's kind of like our cell phone where when that thing goes dead, what do? You plug it in. When that sign comes up, you know, do you want to use low power mode? How many keep going? How many plug it in? Right? It's kind of the way I think about it. When I think of prayer, I kind of think of that way. I go, man, we can literally plug in anytime we want. We can literally plug into God anytime we want. Short, simple prayer. We can plug in. How? By prayer. I love this text. One of my favorites. And if you're looking for a verse to memorize, I like to find a verse all of us can memorize every week. Circle this one. Okay? Everything you need is to be found in me. That's what God says. Everything you need is to be found in me. It's time to plug in. It's time to plug in. It's time to plug in. How do we plug in? We plug in by prayer. We plug in by prayer. We plug in by calling on the name of the Lord. We plug in by getting on our hands and our knees and crying out in prayer. Who do you take your problems to? Who do you take your pain to? Who do you take when you feel crushed and pressured? Who do you take? Who do you talk about that with? Who do you talk about your health issues and your dating struggles and when things don't go right, or your mistakes that you've made, or your marital relational issues that you can't figure out, your finances, your job, or your unemployment? Who do you talk to about the pressure? Do you need to plug in? Are you finding yourself in low power mode this morning? Are there signs that keep popping up on the screen of your mind? Low power mode, low power mode, low power. Do you need to plug in this morning? A lot of times we're frustrated with how to plug in. Let me encourage you this morning. Look at what Jesus did in Scripture. This is our model. up on the screen. Go with me. I'm going to go quick. He fell on his face, say it, praying. He then left them a second time. Read it with me. Again, he prayed. Jesus went back a third time. Read it with me. To pray. Keep going. Going over the same ground. Real quick, let me give this to you. Jesus again and again prayer template. Jesus again and again prayer template. Keep it simple, keep it honest, and keep it going. Isn't that easy? I love that. Keep it simple, short little prayers. I tell my sons, I tell them, keep it short. Keep it short, keep it simple. Gavin, he remembers me saying this, you know, short little pocket-sized prayers. That's what they are, short prayers. Lord, help. Best prayer I could ever pray. Lord, help. God, you're going to have to help me. Lord, help. Two words. Keep it simple. Keep it honest. Prayers that match your mood. We see this in Scripture. Jesus is saying, man, if there's any way, Father, get me out of this. Let your prayers be honest and authentic. Stoicism is not grace. Right? Just be honest with yourself and be honest with God and keep it going. Make prayer your daily habit, okay? Why? Because he never stopped praying. I love this. Scripture says, he, speaking of Jesus, it's up on the screen, always lives to intercede for them. Who? You and me. Did you know that Jesus, right now, look what Scripture says, is interceding for us right now. That's just like a drop the mic moment, huh? That's a Jesus moment. Hey, I got you. I'm at the right hand of God, Jesus says. Scripture. I'm at the right, and by the way, I'm interceding. I'm praying for you right now. Okay, if that doesn't blow your mind, the mystery in that scripture is just tremendous. He's never stopped praying. Jesus seems to think that prayer really works. Does prayer work this morning? Well, Jesus seems to think it does because he's interceding for us right now. Three observations of Jesus' prayer life as I close. Number three, prayer really works if we will pray. Isn't that true in life? When you learn how to communicate well, your relationships, what happens with them? When you communicate well, your relationships grow and they flourish. It's like my wife and I. Every day we communicate. What happens when we stop communicating? We grow distant. There's confusion, misunderstanding, anxieties, fears, worries. So what do? We communicate. And when things happen and things go south, we communicate. Why? Because we want to grow and we want to flourish. It happens out of relationship. Prayer works exactly the same way with Jesus. Here's what Jesus models prayer. He says, my Father. It's relationship. My Father. There's a personal positioning that's happening here, a calling from the soul. My Father. The brother of Jesus, James, he encourages it this way. He says, draw near to God and he will be near and draw near to you. Drawing near to God in prayer. Drawing near to God in prayer. Why? Because prayer changes everything. I want to encourage you this morning. Prayer changes everything. Say that with me. Say, prayer changes everything. Look at somebody and just tell them, say, prayer changes everything. We read that prayer changed the situation and the circumstance in Scripture where Christ prayed in the garden, because this is what occurred after he prayed. Read this with me. It says, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed. We go from that to where Jesus says, rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer. Now, how do you rise, let us go? Here comes my betrayer. When it was, he fell down on his face and was, what happened there? Well, prayer. Prayer is what happened. When you can face in to someone you know who's going to betray you, when you can face into a situation that you know is completely against you and opposing you at every different way, you can face into it. How? Rise, let us go, he said. Exclamation mark. Why? How? Prayer. Jesus faced the agonizing difficulty of taking on the entire world's sin. Understand, this is why he's saying, if there's any way possible, let it pass from me. Because you have a holy God who's perfect and has zero imperfection. He is holy. Holiness epitomized. He is God in the flesh, Jesus, both God and man at the same. Holiness, and he's about to take on everything wrong you and I have done. An entire world of sin. Jesus faced into it through prayer. Rise, let us go, he says. Rise, let us go. The brother of Jesus, James, says it this way. Get down on your knees before the master. It's the only way you'll get on your feet. Rise, let us go. Jesus shows if you will get down on your knees in prayer, if he will raise you up in hope for our city of Seattle. If you get down on your knees in prayer, he will raise you up. And in closing, this is my last story. It reminds me of when I was at a prayer meeting not too long ago. And in this prayer meeting, I'm going to call her Miss D. We're praying. And I walked into this prayer meeting completely discouraged, despondent, depressed. I walk in and we begin to pray, and I'm just reciting scriptures. That's all I have in me. God, your word says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. So, God, I'm trusting you today. I don't feel good, God. This is just, Lord, would you help me? And then Miss D, she starts praying, Lord, you've put them on my heart. I don't know why, but I'm praying this morning for Ryan. Lord, would you raise him up? Would you raise him up? And that's what I remember her over and over. Lord, would you raise him up? And I had this picture of a little seedling, just a little seed in the soil, buried in a dark, all alone, dark, a little seed all alone, dark place, pressured with the soil all around, people walking all over this seed, betrayed and denied and this seed, and then thinking, well, what's going to happen? And then as she's saying, Lord, raise him up. Raise him up. And then, wait, but why is the seed dying? Wait, what's happening? It's cracking. There's pressure. There's crushing. What's going on? But then a little root. And then as she's praying, Lord, raise him up. Let him rise. It's like the picture. You picture it with me? It's like the seed where it just begins making its way to the surface, kind of like that father and son, right, who just explode through the surface for the life of air and hope. And I just see it's just growing, and it's going, and it's going. And then all of a sudden, oh, now it's great. And then all of a sudden, if you've ever been there in the National Forest, the Mount Rainier National Forest, where you're standing on all these, in the middle of all these Douglas fir trees, right? And you're just all this strength and power and fortitude and might. But it started like this in a deep, dark, lonely, burdened struggle, troublesome, afflicted place. And as she says, rise, Lord, raise him up, raise him up, raise him up, Lord. Please, God, give him hope. Lord, raise him up with health, raise him up with hope, raise him up with faith. It breathed so much life into me. How? Prayer. 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 Does prayer really work? Does prayer really work? Therefore, Jesus says, I tell you, whatever you ask for, read it with me, in prayer. Read it with me. Believe that you have received it and it will be yours. The words of Jesus. Prayer really works if we work. It's the if factor. Jesus said it this way, and I close. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed. It's a seed. It's a seed. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed. People may be walking all over you right now. People may have betrayed you. Your health may have betrayed you. Your spouse may have walked out on you. Your finances might be walking all over you. Things may look really dark. Where am I? Is it always going to be like this? I've been employed 8 months. Really, God? It's dark. But he said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you, Jesus says. Nothing will be impossible for you. I know the doctor says I have prostate cancer, my dad says. But you know what? It's okay because we got all the deductible done in 1 year. Faith the size of a mustard seed. How are you going to see your situation this morning? I hope this is instilling hope in you. Jesus says if. It's the if factor. Prayer really works if we will pray. Prayer really works if we will pray. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and, read it with me, pray and seek my face. Keep reading. And turn from their wicked ways. What does he say? He says, then will I hear from heaven, and then will I forgive their sins, and then will I heal their land. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me this morning? Does prayer really work? If you will pray this morning, I believe God will move on your behalf. He'll move in your relationships. He'll move in your job situation. He'll move in your finances. He'll move in your church. He'll move in our great city of Seattle. If you pray. This morning, with every head bowed and eye closed, I know we've gone a little long, but this is a really cool moment because this is a moment I want to extend an invitation from God to you. I've learned that men, women, boys, and girls who don't have joy or peace in their heart will spend an entire lifetime searching for it. Searching for joy, searching for peace, trying to find hope. I know what I'm talking about because I've done it. I've done it in wanting acceptance, thinking I could find joy and peace in the acceptance of others. From social stance. I've searched in education. Oh, man, maybe if I just accomplish this, then I'll have joy and peace. I've searched in it from overeating, undereating, food medicating. I've searched for it in sex. I've searched for it in relationships. I've searched for it in position and power. And man, if I could just have this title, I'll have the peace and joy that I want, and I'll find. No, none of that has ever worked. I know what I'm talking about because I've searched. You know what I have found, though? With every head bowed and eye closed, I've found that hope comes in a personal relationship with Jesus. And this morning, if prayer is all about talking with Jesus and developing a trusting relationship with him, if that's what prayer is all about, then I want to pray because that's where I find my hope. This morning, for the first time, if anybody would like to say, I want to follow Jesus. I found hope this morning, and I want to follow Jesus with you. I want to accept that invitation from God and follow him and give my life to him. If that's you, at the count of three, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I only ask you to raise your hand so I know who I can pray for. One, two, three. Anybody want to follow Jesus? One, two, three. Any others? Any others? Four. Any upstairs? Awesome. You can put your hands down. And this morning, if there's something you're walking through and you want to say, Pastor Ryan, I could use a word of prayer. I could use a two-word, Lord, help. I could use a prayer. You're feeling that this morning, and there's something going on, maybe in a relationship or a job or a circumstance that you found. And that scripture, everything is to be found in me. Everything you need is to be found in me. When we circled that and said, we're going to memorize that, you said, you know what? I need that. I need to find some hope this morning. I need to find some answers. Whether it's a green, yellow, or red, I'm bringing my situation to him right now. If that's you, just raise your hand. I want to pray with you. Whatever you're going through, all across the room, too many hands to even count. I'm not going to try counting. Just raise it up. If there's any others, every head bowed, every eye closed, any others? Prayer. Good. You can put your hands down. Let's pray together. Pray this prayer with me. Father, I give my heart to you all over again. Lord, I'm asking, would you come in and cleanse me and wash me of my sins and my mistakes? Make me pure in your sight. Lord, I confess my wrongs and my mistakes I've done this week to you, and I'm asking, God, would you help me? Help me, Father, to follow you in all my ways. Help me, Father, wholeheartedly to trust in you. And God, I bring my situation to you this morning. God, I bring my lack to you this morning. The pressure of what I'm feeling, the crushing of what I'm feeling, the hurt of what I'm feeling, the isolation and the loneliness of how I feel at times, the fear, the anxiety, the regret, the shame. I bring it all, the condemning thoughts, the accusatory words, the mind videos that keep playing themselves in my mind. Lord, I bring it to you. And today, God, I say, I trust you with it all. I trust you with it all, God, today. For Father, in observing your prayer life, you've taught me this morning that I can come. I can come, and that God, by coming, I align my ways with your ways. And Father, that by coming to you in prayer, I can connect with God Almighty. And that, Father, by coming in prayer this morning, it really works. I love you, Jesus. Everybody said amen.